This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
Topics worthy of discussion. Or Pizzaville, dial pound 3636. Joining us in-house, Kevin Gaudette is the president of Brightpoint Strategy, formerly head of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Good afternoon to you, Kevin.
Hey, Johnny, living the dream today.
Thank you for that. Michael Diamond back with us, campaign strategist and political commentator with Upstream Strategy Group. How's the Diamond Man?
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And Alyssa Freeman, PR and pop culture media expert. Alyssa?
Glad to be here as always, John. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. As a matter of fact, you know, was just talking to Dan McTague, the petroleum analyst who was with us. And boy, he was really unequivocal about the need to build a pipeline to Tidewater, especially given the circumstances in the Middle East. And, you know, with 5% of the world's oil supply taken off stream, they don't know when it will come back up. But it does underscore the volatility of global oil markets, and we could be supplanting or supplying what is missing. We would be in a very advantageous position right now if we had these darn pipelines. So I'll just throw it around the horn as sort of punctuating the point in a follow-up with Mr. McTague. The instability of the global oil supply, does it underscore the importance of Canada expediting development of the oil sands and getting that Trans Mountain pipeline built, Kevin?
Yeah, for sure. Look, this Liberal government has chosen rainbows and unicorns over economic development for years now. And Dan McTeague's not the only former Liberal, Blue Dog Liberal, or Conservative Liberal, if you will, fiscally minded Liberal, who's upset with this government. So that's why I think there's a good opportunity for Andrew Scheer, this opportunity, this election, because this Liberal government, Trudeau's just gone so far to the left.
Well, but here's the thing, because if Quebec, they don't want Energy East, according to Legault, their premier, they don't want pipelines, they've got an environmental skew. Ditto for BC, who just stalled the development with another court challenge. And, is it being played out rather as politics rather than economic interest for the country, Michael?
Absolutely, it's being played out as politics. And this isn't only an economic issue, frankly. This is a moral issue, because Canadian oil should be made available to the rest of the world so we can start relying less on really, really bad countries' oils, where evil things happen and most of the chaos in the world is a result of our reliance on that oil. We need to do this.
Alyssa, is it a consensus then? I thought I'd ask as an afterthought to Mr. McTague.
Yes, it is a consensus. And I think that people are actually shocked on what this has done to the world oil supply. I think that we knew a lot of oil came out of Saudi Arabia, but since the decimation of their oil fields, and we're all going to see it at the pump in a few days, I think people are really surprised about how much was just concentrated in one place and what that would mean if we had oil to sell.
I think we're going to see a stepped-up campaign in the future from the Canadian Association of petroleum producers, who seeded the field for too many years on this issue. And I think they're going to, I think the Alberta, mainly Alberta and Saskatchewan oil companies will be given the cash to cap, and they're going to step up their game in a national campaign.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's already happening. And you cite Alberta, for example. Their premier, Jason Kenney, has sort of struck a commission, a government sort of initiative to start trying to follow the money trail and see who's funding the groups that would undermine petroleum development in his province. And some people see that as being like, offside. In fact, I think there was an op-ed piece in a Weekend's Globe to that effect that said this is, kind of conspiracy stuff and governments ought not to be involved in this kind of pursuit. How do you see it, Michael Diamond?
Look, the same reporters and columnists who are going to say that this is a conspiracy theory by Jason Kenney are going to be the ones talking about Russian interference in the American elections. So we know that foreign actors do things for their interest, interfering in our democracy and our domestic affairs. So I think it's great to see Alberta have a premier who's actually looking out for Alberta's interests again.
All right. Well, when you cite that there are foreign actors that may play a role trying to influence the outcome of our election, it's been cited by no less than the Canadian intelligence apparatus that there are foreign diplomats in embassies and consulates across the country, primarily in BC and Ontario, who are working to affect their own agendas or ends. And this is a report in the CBC. Federal parties being warned of efforts by six foreign countries to influence election. And these countries are primarily China and India, but they also include Pakistan, Venezuela, who else is Saudi Arabia is in there, and there's one more. But it leads me to wonder who would be the beneficiary, they say, because really they'll do it at the writing level through the diaspora, who would tend to benefit from this kind of foreign influence, Kevin?
Well, I can think of three or four examples of individuals in the last year or two who have been caught out in public supporting the interests of China, mainland China, or India. And you know, we can think of the former Ontario Provincial Minister Chan. There's a local federal MP who's being charged with a variety of obstruction issues. Who's the former federal cabinet minister who became the ambassador to China?
McCallum.
They're all liberals. They all have one thing in common. They're liberals.
So what are you saying? They actually would follow the interests of these foreign actors, or they would play ball with them because it would help them get elected. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to understand.
Well, anecdotally speaking, we're the only examples I can come up with are all liberals. Oh, well, not to mention the fundraising scandal Justin Trudeau had for having caught out going to an event at which there were a whole bunch of registered Chinese lobbyists. I mean, the list of examples is not short.
All right. Although, you know, it's kind of interesting that they had on his trip to India this guy who was, affiliated with the terrorists.
Sorry, I can't keep track of
I thought that was going to be your first one, Kevin,
That was inimical, though, to the Indian national interest. This guy, you know, if he's a separatist and, in the Punjab there and, you know, had been a party to terrorist activity that wanted to stoke those flames, then I don't see where that squares, because that's against the Indian interest, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Yes. It's interesting when I read this article. It was sort of a strange article to begin with. I mean, first of all, they're warning the political parties about these interests. And then they're saying that, well, it's not really on a very high technical level. They're actually trying to get into ridings and go into meetings and do their influence. It's not like the Russians. It's not like the Russians who are trying to do it, you know, through social media or for Facebook. So
yeah, it's old school.
They actually did call it old school. And I sort of like smirked at that. But then I listened to Kevin and I'm, you know, hear him rattling off all these examples that show what actually happens when you go old school and, you know,
Manchurian
maybe
Manchurian candidates.
There we go. And it also mentioned that the article. Very good.
Well, no, what it says is that these elections are contested at the riding level and can make all the difference in the world if you've got somebody who's paying for operatives, you know, because the embassies and the diplomats are really intelligence operatives, according to our own intelligence apparatus.
Look, we're seeing an electoral split right now, 35-35, 36-35. We know that this election will be decided by a couple thousand votes in key electoral districts. If you can make a difference in those districts, you're going to determine the result of the election. I think what's equally concerning as the foreign nation states that are playing in this game are the foreign-funded NGOs that are having a big impact. So last election, you saw the Rockefeller Foundation, you saw Todd, all these American interests pouring Tom Star ton of money into Canada to stop things. And then you have to ask, how did the Rockefellers have money? Petroleum.
Yeah, okay. I get it. But, you know, it's funny because I talked to Dan McTague about that moments before you arrived. And late last week, we discussed with Vivian Krause, who's done a lot of research on this, the same
He's
idea,
awesome.
Following the money trail. Well, some people would counter by saying, but the Koch brothers, they pour money into, you know, pro-petroleum types of endeavors and so on. Is it a wash?
Well, what have they done
one-sided?
In Canada, though? Like, we hear it's easy to say the Koch brothers, but point to their projects. We know what Tides did last election. We know what the Rockefeller Foundation did. So we know what the Koch brothers do, or the Koch Foundation does in America. We know that their internship does train some Canadians. But I don't think I think it's an easier talking point from the left than reality.
I can't think of an example. And I know when I was the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we would have loved money from the Koch brothers. Please send us money, but didn't happen.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.